Educators want to stay fresh with literacy instruction, but are so busy with students, they don't always have the time. All year long, Choice Literacy publishes and delivers the best K-12 literacy practices so that educators can grow their students as readers and writers with choice in literacy. Welcome to the Big Fresh Choice Literacy Podcast. I'm Ruth Ayers. Hi, everyone. This week is our annual spring break from the Big Fresh newsletter. We love to give space so you can go and look at the issues that piqued your curiosity. For a full roundup, check out the show notes. Our Choice Literacy Book Club gathered to discuss Little Brown by Marla Frazee. I'm so excited to share our conversation here on the podcast. There's several contributors joining us, and I'm excited for the discussion. Bitsy Parks selected this book. She's a first grade teacher in Portland, Oregon. And Bitsy, you're going to lead us tonight. Welcome.
Thanks, Ruth, and thanks everyone for coming to talk about Little Brown tonight. Choosing a book for the book club was really hard because there's so many amazing picture book titles to choose from. Feels like they're coming out on a weekly basis. But ultimately, I chose Little Brown because I think it's really unique and different from other friendship and community building books in the way that it encourages discussion around a tough topic. So I'm really excited to hear what you guys all think about it. So let's start with the ending. People have really different reactions to the open-endedness of the ending, and I'm curious what you guys thought of it.
Bitsy, you went right to the challenging part of the story. I really was unsettled by the ending. It's just, you get so used to, especially in picture books so often, kind of the nice little bow at the end of a story. And this one left with them trying to figure it out tomorrow. And while I think it would provide great discussion, and it certainly leaves me thinking, oh, that was a hard part.
Kathy, it was really interesting when I was reading this for the first time. I was sitting down with my 5-year-old little boy. And when we got to the end, he said, "So Mom, is there another Little Brown?" Like, he was just itching for to find out what was going to happen. So it was, that unresolved ending was really threw me for a loop too.
Heather, I was on the same wavelength as your son. I turned the page thinking I must have skipped a page and went back and reread it. And then I had to think, if I was sitting in front of students, what their reactions might be with that same ending and how I would kind of lead us into that discussion within a classroom.
So I read it with a few different groups of kids. One group of second graders, they asked that same question, Heather, right? Like, is there another one? Are we going to find out what happens next? And I think part of the power of it, obviously, right, is that it allows you to return to it with like so many different lenses. So like the first read, you know, you can have one focus. And then once the kids have heard the ending and know it's unresolved, it invites like that chance to now reread and do brand new work. And of course, like talking about like in real life, right? Like problems aren't always solved. And like, what does that mean for us as people? Like, what does it mean like for us in our writing? But I think like the open-endedness of it is one of the things about the book that makes it possible to return to again and again with the same group of kids.
So thinking about what Kate was saying with second graders, I actually work with sixth graders during the day. And so I think a lot of times in middle grades literature, there is sort of an unresolved ending. And so it was really interesting to see in a picture book what that looks like, because it does often leave readers unsettled. And I was thinking that even though it's kind of open-ended, it's a little bit unresolved, I still felt like that ending was hopeful. like we ended with that idea that, well, maybe tomorrow they will be able to figure this out and they will be able to work through it. I also liked that there was sort of the, like, they will know what to do, both sides, both Little Brown and the other dogs, that it didn't just end up being sort of left as just Little Brown's problem or just the problem of the other dogs, that they needed to, you know, figure out how to solve everything for him, for Little Brown. And so I liked the way that that would allow students to really dig into what they learned about each character, and or each group of characters maybe, and kind of thinking through how they think it could be resolved the next day. I also was thinking through the lens of using it as a mentor text for writing and how to teach students, you know, a lot of times my sixth graders love to leave a story open-ended because it's easier than figuring out a resolution. In this case, I think that Marla Frazee does a great job of showing writers how to be intentional about an open-ended ending. You can tell she doesn't just leave it there because she didn't know what to do with it. She leaves it there because that is the message she wanted to give readers. And so I think that would be an interesting conversation, even through a lens of writers and not just readers.
Christy, when I was thinking about ways to use it as a mentor text for writing, I couldn't help myself but to Google Marla Frazee and Little Brown. And one of the things that I found out was that she actually started with a strong feeling. And that was the basis for this story. So it was really interesting is thinking about when we're teaching our students that one way that we can come up with an idea, generate an idea, is through a strong feeling. And this would be a great example to use for the students.
Heather, I love that. I love getting the backstory and getting inside the writer's head.
And I love that you guys saw it through the lens of a mentor text for writing. That didn't cross my mind at all. But when I was reading through the Padlet today, I saw several references for that. Ruth, I think you talked about the pages with all the questions that the group of dogs and Little Brown are wondering about, and how, you know, we can use that to teach kids how to, you know, show, not tell, and what a mentor that would be for that.
Yeah, I too really admire, Heather, that you Googled that and found out the little tidbit just about starting with a strong emotion. When I first read this book, I had a pretty strong emotional reaction to it. And I didn't quite understand it, like why I felt so strongly. And I was kind of upset about the ending. And I think it's because, you know, the predictable nature of a picture book is that the ending is tidy. And this definitely is not tidy. And then Bitsy, you had said that one of the reasons you had picked this book in book club last month was because you live with a little brown. And I was like, oh my goodness, one of my own kids is a little brown also. And she's just having such a difficult time learning how to navigate the world that I think then when I'm reading this, like I want a clear cut answer, but it's not at the end. There's just no clear cut answer about it, except that, you know, tomorrow we're going to try again. And then when I was reading through the Padlet and really thinking about how it strengthened my empathy, because each time I read it, I was thinking about just the different groups and how there's so many stories that are intersecting in this book. And then you've likely not seen it yet, but on the Padlet, Matt Renwick, who is one of the contributors, he posted a video. He has a video of himself introducing this book to kindergartners. And in it, he introduces the fly pages. And I hadn't noticed it, but at the very beginning of the book, all the dogs are named. There's pictures of them up on a corkboard. And then if you turn the page right before the title page, there's a picture of the back of Little Brown and a question mark. And in the video, these kindergartners are like, he doesn't have a name. And they're distraught. Before he even reads the book, they're distraught about Little Brown not having a name with those fly pages. And it that part of the story just, I'm still processing it. I'd love to know what some other people think about just those fly pages and the way, you know, it's the back of Little Brown and a question mark for his name. But I think that's part of that unsettled feeling that I have is just there's so much that we don't know about some kids' stories. And there's so much we don't know about Little Brown, but yet his actions, they make me want to fix it. And I don't know that it's something that can be fixed.
So one of the times that I read it to to a classroom, Ruth, the focus was reading the pictures, not just the words. And so anytime I paused, it was to invite kids to look more closely at the pictures and say what they thought. And we started with the fly pages. And so they had the same thought, right? We'd already read like inside where it said like Little Brown is cranky. But then as soon as they saw the picture with the question mark and started to wonder like, oh, is the reason he's cranky? Like he has no name, right? His back is to the camera. And it like invited then like looking closer at the pictures throughout the book, like he doesn't always look cranky, right? Like he looks sad or unsure or left out and lonely. And I think like the reason that was so powerful is like seeing that picture at the beginning and like realizing there's a reason to crankiness, right? And it helps kids start to talk about that instead of just like rushing to apply labels, like thinking about like maybe reasons behind it.
Kate, I noticed one of the, when I started reading it, it was for like the 15th, 16th time, I was really studying the sky. And I was noticing in the beginning of the story how it was like the little patch of darkness over Little Brown. And then as the story continued, it started changing color and then it started spreading. And so it became darker sky over more of the dogs until at the end it was very dark. And that to me was just very symbolic of the nature of how the story ended.
I love that. I hadn't noticed that or like thought much about it. That would be fun to go back to.
Heather, I love that too. And then when you turn that very last page, it's white, right? Like the whole page is white. They would know what to do. It's
like, yes, like it's clear.
Right? Yeah, yep. But it's not clear.
But it's not clear.
Well, the other interesting thing about that, Heather, is I'm looking at the pictures after you've said that toward the beginning of the book, it is much brighter because the book, the color that's used in the book does sort of have a kind of a tone that there may be a little bit something going on. But on one of the early pages, it's brighter. And on the page, it says, he knew he could be a dog who would, if given half a chance, chase balls, run in circles, nap in the shade, or get muddy. So like there's that little bit of hope there and then things turn around in the story.
Kathy, that line you just referenced, just that phrase, if given half a chance, is one that I think is worth revisiting because that gives us like this little window into Little Brown's perspective that's like the first time you can really see, like he doesn't want to be this dog on the outside that because he thinks if given half a chance, he would be able to fit in with those groups, shows us that there is like this desire that he doesn't just want to stay in that sort of separateness. And the sky, and then ultimately it actually starts raining at the end. I loved that because in middle school, we talk a lot about how writers can use weather to communicate mood. And we can also use it then to communicate change. And picture books is one of the places where it's so visible to kids because you can see it in the pictures. And I loved that sky on that page you were referencing, Kathy, the sky actually has this like swirl. It almost looks like it's just Little Brown's angry lines coming off of him. It's like this sort of dark brown swirl, but it also appears like it's the sky behind him. And then ultimately, the fact that it rains And I loved that you pointed out, I think that was, I'm not sure who pointed it out, maybe Heather, that it ultimately reigns over all the dogs. And so you see like that mood spreads. There's just so much like SEL going on in the book. That two-page spread that Ruth was talking about in the Padlet about the thought processes of Little Brown and those other dogs made me think about what a great way to start conversations about when we have some ownership of maybe the way somebody else is feeling and when we don't have ownership of the way somebody else is feeling. I thought, what a cool way to enter into those conversations with kids. Like, are those other dogs really responsible for Little Brown's crankiness? And what responsibility does Little Brown have himself? And it's just such, for so few words, it's so much wisdom.
I love that, Christy, because I really feel like that is one of the, or the strength of the book is that it really doesn't lie fault with either Little Brown or the group or total responsibility to fix it with either one. I really feel like it's, I think empathetic for both Little Brown and for the group of kids. And like Ruth said, I feel like I'm raising a Little Brown. And although I'm so empathetic for him and want a solution, I do understand the other groups not understanding my Little Brown, you know? So I love that it's what you kind of said about how it kind of lies on both of them and to fix it the fault really lie with, I think is really wise in this book.
Betsy, you just mentioned when you were talking, you talked about the dogs and then you interchanged with the word kids, which I think is so telling of how we're reading it, especially in these roles as educators and coaches working with students. And it made me think of the dedication made me pause. The dedication in the book says for the dogs. Mm-hmm. And I read that and was like, oh, she doesn't just mean dogs. I immediately thought it's all of the humans too, all of the creatures that these dogs represent. And your little slip there made me think of that.
That's so funny that I made that slip. And it's funny because when I reread the book this morning to prepare for today, I noticed the dedication too, and it really stood out to me.
Betsy, as soon as you had said kids, one of the times I had read through this, I was thinking about a fourth grade class that I've worked in the past, and they often have a lot of struggles at recess trying to navigate friendships and play with each other. And I thought those questions that they asked of themselves and then Little Brown asked, I think that's probably a lot of the dialogue that goes on through their own heads when we come in and have to kind of break down then what had happened at recess time.
I think that's right. And I think so many picture books have a character or a couple characters who kind of stand out from the group of dogs and solve the problem. And then the Little Brown character changes. And I think what I love about this one is how realistic it is that it's not that easy to fix. And it's not that easy for one dog to separate itself from the group and do the reaching out. And things aren't always that easily fixed. So I also really love, Christy, how you thought the ending really was hopeful, that even though they didn't solve the problem, it wasn't a total disaster either. And there's hope for this little group, this little playground of dogs. I think one other thing that stood out for me in the Padlet discussion were all the connections to using this book for coaches in the school and for professional development. I thought that was really fun. I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah, it's not just kids we can interchange these characters with, right? Like, it's, we can think of colleagues and even ourselves, like asking reflective questions like this about the way that we interact with other people and when do we maybe have ownership in a situation and maybe, you know, where does that ownership end? It's a really wise book, and it would make an excellent, I think, fodder for story continuations, like what they think would happen tomorrow. I think it would be a fun sort of springboard that way.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Christy, I love that description of it being a really wise book, because I agree with that. And Bitsy, I think it was a great pick for us to talk about and dig in, and just so many of the things that we're noticing here, the conversation could go on and on. I'd like to give a minute for the people who are here in discussion tonight to introduce yourself, tell us who you are and what you do, what your role is, and then if you have, whatever thought that you have that you've not had a chance to mention, or the thing that is on your mind because of the conversation, even if it's been talked about a little bit before. I think those are good things just for us to reflect on and note how our thinking is changing, or what we're thinking more about that we weren't when we came in. So I just would like to give people a chance to introduce themselves. I can go ahead and go first. My name is Ruth Ayers, and I'm behind the scenes at Choice Literacy. I'm the editor at the site. I also hold a role of a director of a professional learning consortium of about 30 schools. And so my role is to bring professional learning opportunities that are tailored to schools' needs. And I think what I'm thinking about now that I wasn't thinking about before was when Kate was talking about just the many reactions, the many feelings, like there was crankiness, but also how he was feeling sad. And I love when kids can learn, young writers can learn how to make how characters feel on the inside show on the outside. And I hadn't really thought about using this book in that way, but that's what's been on my mind right now, and how complex interactions are, that it's not just one feeling, but there's oftentimes many layers of feelings. So thanks for that discussion.
I'm Kate Mills. I'm a K-5 literacy coach. And I was thinking a lot about Christy's comments about the pronouns at the end, and thinking that it would be great to like do some close reading work with kids of rereading and thinking about the pronouns. And then also, Christy, you mentioned like the perspective too, right? Clues of what Little Brown's perspective is. So I'm excited to try that with a group of kids that has already read it, I think.
I'm Bitsy Parks, and I teach first grade in Portland, Oregon. And I chose the book this month, obviously. What I really enjoyed and was reminded of, I think Heather brought it up, was to study the pictures. I've used a lot of Marla Frazee's books during our illustration study in writing, but I think with this book, I was so caught up in the story and the text that I haven't spent the time with the pictures. So I'm really excited to do that, and to do that with my students as well.
I'm Christy Rush Levine. I teach sixth grade language arts in a southwest suburb of Chicago. And one of the things, as we've been talking tonight, I'm flipping back through the book and studying the illustrations more closely. There's an intentional inclusion of like a bag cleanup station where there's like a little garbage can and there are bags for dog waste, which sort of makes me think that this is maybe at a dog park and that there are humans involved with these dogs as well. And so that made me think about bigger conversations you could have, like whose story is being told and what story isn't being told. And then I started noticing the birds, and now I want to go back and dig in. Just that sort of close reading of the images, that I felt like I had really studied the images, but there's always something more to see. I love that about picture books.
My name is Kathy Meir, and I am a literacy specialist. And I was thinking, as I've been listening to everyone, and Ruth, your point about the characters in this story and how we can write so people know our characters better. I was thinking about the reading side of that and how often authors use character to help us to think about or learn or understand something new. And I think having readers in the classroom kind of going out to find other characters that they think of as a result of reading this book, characters that are similar to Little Brown, characters that are different, and how authors help us to get to know them might provide not only a way for us to think more about our reading, but then also as we get into our writing, being able to build that part of our work as well. So lots of possibility here.
I'm Heather Fisher. I am an instructional coach in Massachusetts. And one of the things that I've been thinking about since our discussion is that, like, what's next? And almost like that, what would happen if there was another book? And so I'm excited to start that and actually think I'm going to talk with my son and create a story about what happens next. And that idea of hope that we talked about, and how every day is a new day and new opportunities for us to make a difference and to change.
I'm Jennifer Court, a literacy specialist at an elementary school in Indiana. And something that's kind of staying with me is, had been mentioned earlier and on our Padlet, was using this book with adults and kind of what the previous idea too about kind of, okay, what's next? And how are we like the dogs at the dog park, or how are we sometimes maybe like Little Brown, and what's next for us as the adults that try to make our school an awesome place to be every day?
Well, guys, thanks so much for joining in the conversation tonight. I think it's neat just to see the layers as they unfold throughout the month, and then being able to talk about it as a group is just a great delight to me. Matt Renwick, he chose The April Read, and it is Neville by Norton Jewster. So you may be familiar with Neville. It's an oldie and a goodie about a new kid who's moving to a new neighborhood and how he's learning to adjust and to make friends. So I think it'll be really neat, especially following Little Brown, to take a look at Neville. So if you're able to read along with us next month, that would be great. And you'll see there's a new Padlet up for April that we can collect some of our thoughts. Thanks a lot for being here tonight.